We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Yo, 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 yo.
I'm DJ Envy.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God with the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
And currently we are on vacation.
Man, totally disconnected.
Yes.
We're not even really here. You think you're listening to us, but we're not.
Well, we are not. We're here in spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to be playing some of our top interviews and some throwbacks. So keep it locked. Red is going to be running the boards. And we'll see y'all in the new year. Happy holidays. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Shanice from Dane. How y'all doing? Good morning.
It's Shanice
from
Dane.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Julie, I just wanted to say I'm very proud of you. Congratulations on your new radio show you're about to come out with.
Thank
you. Know,
you.
I'm looking for big things for you. I wanted to give a special shout out to myself. You know, I turned 29, y'all. Finally.
Happy birthday.
Hey. Happy birthday. Hey.
Thank you. I tried to get on here on Friday because originally my birthday was on Friday, but I couldn't, you know. But I made it. I'm here. I'm blessed. And today I go do something major. I go get my house keys from my house. So it's just blessings after blessings. So I wanted to get
blessings
a
special blessings
to myself.
So today's your birthday, and you got a new crib.
And I got a new crib.
Congratulations.
So, you know, I know that's right, girl.
Thank you. Love you guys. And I thank you for letting me get on here. Shout out to my fiance, too.
Okay, mom. And you got a fiance. You go, girl.
Thank you.
Go, girl. You go, girl. You go,
Jesus girl. Christ. You tell you born in the 1900s. Jesus
girl.
Christ. You go, girl.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what up?
Hey, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Ain't nothing much, man. Charlamagne, man. I'm going to put a parental paranoia, man. What you been doing to get over that?
Man, you when you tell me, you let me know. I mean, I listen, you know, like I believe in prayer, and you know, I do my breathing exercises, but man, it's just one of those things where it's like, you kind of got to let go and let God, man, because as much as we want to protect our kids at all times, we just simply can't. They still got to go out into this world, you know?
How old are they?
My son, he's 3. He's starting child abandonment.
You said your son is what?
3.
Yeah, I know, brother. Trust me.
You know they have something certain schools and a lot of schools offer it now. Where they have cameras all over the school where you could actually log in and see your kids throughout the day.
Oh, I got that. In my schools. You know I got that.
I don't know. We got all that down here. I'm in the country, man. Thanks to South Carolina.
But honestly, even...
you should Google it.
I'll tell you this. That makes my parental paranoia worse.
Not me. Because
you know what? Never mind. I don't even want to put it out there. But I'm just saying,
don't do that.
Yeah, I don't even want to put it out there. But it's just like, it makes my parental paranoia worse. But like I said, man, you just got to let go and let God. There's really nothing we could do, man, but let our kids exist and, you know, just pray for the best, brother.
So they have
that in public schools and everything?
A lot of times, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of times it does. It just gives parents that comfortability that they're able to drop their kids off and you're able to watch them go from class to class. The only place that they don't have the cameras are, of course, in the bathroom, but it allows you to watch kids.
I mean, I guess for me, if something like that, you know, you got to let the teachers know. Like, you always watching. Sometimes you got to make random comments.
I'm like, I seen you today.
Yeah.
I seen y'all painting. Y'all were painting for a long time today. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. Even camp. I popped up at camp the other day.
Yeah. Parental paranoia is such a real thing. But I think that's just a natural emotion. That natural anxiety parents have is just part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's always going to be part of us. Like, I'm 44 years old. My mom still checks on me.
I learned that from my pops. My pops used to just pop up. And I pop up at camp.
Oh, that's me.
Who's your child? Which one?
Oh, that's me.
Pop up?
Oh, that's me.
Yep.
That's me. I'm like that. I'm. You remember in Tupac, a Juice? When Q closed that locker,
mm-hmm.
And Bishop was just standing there.
That's me.
That's me with all the teachers, bro. Yep. What's happening?
All right. The Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
You think she's trying to mess your life up?
Not like, just mentally, pretty much. Mentally. Because we're not together anymore. She still lives, you know, at my own house. You know, like, come home whenever they want to, not paying any bills. You know, and then it's like when you try to tell them that you got to go, they threaten you. They just, I don't want to do the bad thing and, you know, just call the cops or whatever because my son is involved. I just want my son to be in the best position, you know.
Is there any way you guys can do some counseling so y'all can co-parent together so you can have an expert come in and mediate?
She doesn't want to do that. She doesn't want any of that. When we try to talk, you know, like I'm getting cussed out.
Well, sir, you should document all of this and lawyer up. That's all I could say. Because this could
document them, but that's what scares me. I don't want to take my son into, like, you know, the court. You know, it's just I don't want any. I could get custody and all of that, but it's beneficial to me, but not to my son.
I'm not saying get custody, but you might want to make sure because you know they do look more favorably upon whoever the person is that actually initiates that, and she might be getting ready to take you to court. And so if it's about the best interest of your son and you guys can't come to any sort of agreement, I do recommend you protect yourself and protect, you know, your rights to actually make sure you can see your son when you need to. Sometimes, you know, that might be the only act right solution.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. It's just like, I just want to say, people, like, when y'all not together anymore, it's the child that's getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to hurt each other or whatever. And you don't owe the woman or vice versa anything.
No, you don't. And it's a shame.
It's about the child.
Yeah, that this is happening the way that it is. But I'm only telling you that I would even just talk to a lawyer to see what advice that they would have because they've seen this situation over and over and over again. So they might give you some solutions that you didn't even think of.
Thank you. And Charlamagne, I have one more question, brother.
Yes, sir.
I've tried BetterHelp therapy. I've tried it like many different times. I've had like 6 sessions. None of them are good, man. It's just, I tried everything, but none of these things are. They're not helping at all.
Well, you know, therapy is not one size fits all. You know what I'm saying? You might have to sit down with a few therapists, you know, to figure out the one that's right for you. But also, too, man, it's a lot of other different ways to, you know, to find healing. You might find healing through, you know, well, it might help you to heal the journal. You know, you might want to try meditation. You might want to try some breathing exercises. You might want to try some, you know, regular physical exercise. I'm going to actually get your email, and I'm going to connect you with my partner, Dr. Alfie Breland Noble at the Mental Wealth Alliance, man. And we're going to try to find something that can help you out, my brother.
I appreciate it, man. I listen to y'all every day. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're going to get your email right now. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, sir.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, Charlamagne.
Listen, I'm a married man. I'm not about to have no phone sex with you on this damn radio.
Oh, I got you stuttering over there, girl.
Yeah, just hey, you
definitely got him
sex?
Stuttering. Well, get it off your chest, Trav.
No, that's my equipment messing up.
What's up?
Oh, hey.
What's up, Yee?
His equipment's messed
up.
Equipment's
what's not up, working Trav? Over there, boo-boo.
Listen, I'm calling to talk about, listen, girls gotta stop thinking that they man is gay over the littlest things. Like, girls have a problem showing me pictures of their man after they think he's gay or telling me. This girl yesterday gonna say that her man like to sleep naked on his stomach with the, like, with the fan blowing on him. And she told her, is that gay? I said, because he like a little cool breeze on his butt. How does that make him gay?
It's hard to sleep on your stomach, though.
I sleep on my stomach all the time.
Well, Trav, you are gay. In all fairness.
That is a fact, Trav.
You know what, Yee? You got a point. I gotta go tell her that her man might be gay. He might be gay.
There you have it.
Damn it, man.
Mystery solved.
Goodbye, Trav. All right, The Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ. Ye is competitive. So yeah. How do you decide what songs make it and what songs don't?
You know, in working with them this time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a 12-song album. And 6 from you and 6 from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of kept it in that 12 box and took the best 6 from each of them.
So that way there's no problems, no feelings.
Oh, no. And it was good. It was, I mean, me personally, like what I was personally doing was like having like my own versus battle between both of them. Cause I would like go to Miami. I work with Pharrell. I take that to LA, be like, oh, look what me and P did. He'd be like, what? All right, hold on.
Gotcha.
You know, it was like a big back and forth.
Now, did you see the interview we did with Coi Leray?
Yeah.
The conversation.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts about
man,
that?
Man, I love that girl, man. Yeah. I like her. I like her. Like she's just real, like, charismatic, and I actually like her songs.
It's funny that your name just kept coming.
I know. I was like, yo, what I do?
You were like the bar.
Your record with Hov.
So oh, okay.
You've been playing it every hour, so we're excited about it. And she was like, why y'all so excited about this? And I'm here. We was like, because this is our era. This is what we listen
okay,
to.
Oh, okay.
And that's where it came from.
All right. Nah, man. It was, you know, I seen it, but yeah, I like her, man. I like her. She a firecracker.
You know, because I look at music, no matter what age somebody is, if I like a song, I like a song.
Yep.
Right. Do you find it that with the younger artists, it's not as relatable? Because I've heard people say that, too. Like, I can't understand this. It's not for me. And that's kind of what that conversation was about.
I feel like, you know, for me, man, rap, you got to be, like, culturally out here. It ain't just about lyrics, bars, so on and so forth. You got to, like... You know, it's a whole culture. It's fashion. It's just the energy of knowing what's what and being in tune to what's what. And I feel like when you put that in your lyrics and when you put that in your raps, that's sort of relatable to everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe some, you know, maybe some of the younger kids don't take that time. But I feel like, you know, when they're passive listening or whatever, it hits everybody sooner mm-hmm. or later.
Now, I see your brother is on the album.
Yeah.
Now, you got him back in the studio. You got him back working. Well, first of all, how did you get him back in the studio?
Okay.
And two, does that mean that we're going to get a Clips album, maybe?
So, listen.
Possibly.
This is the play, hopefully. Right? This is the play. So, first, it started with the Nego album.
Mm-hmm.
That was an easy ass, because it was like, I was like, man, it's Nego, you know, we sort of started this babe thing with him, and he putting out an album, like, yo, we gotta do a song for
right,
the album.
Right.
He was like, oh, yeah, for sure. So then I came back to him. I was like, yo, it's the last record on my album. Like, I need you to, you know, give me a verse. And he was like, I mean, all right, man. Like, you know, I still get to pull, like, the little brother card, like, mm-hmm. just ask for things and expect to, like, get them. And, like, I get to, like, look at him like, I mean, yeah, I just asked for it. And you sort of got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it. He did the record. But he's definitely looking at me like sideways, like, yo, you think you're gonna keep asking me for these little features before, you know what I'm saying?
They sounded good. They sounded good.
Those are Clips songs.
Yeah.
But so is his head in a good spot where maybe it's possible?
I feel like these last two offerings, and I feel like the response is definitely. I talked to him this morning. He was like, I'm hearing what people saying, B. I'm hearing everybody's saying. But you know, he not committing.
All right, we got more with Pusha T. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
At the time, man, like I said, I was like 20.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was like, man, this is great. Me and my brother just getting in the game. And then you realize how long that jingle has ran. The I'm loving it. You realize that. And then, boom, later on down the line, I did a record with Skrillex.
Mm-hmm.
And... Arby's used a piece of that record.
Mm-hmm.
I own 40% of that record. So I had just been in business with Artie's, like every few months getting checks for the commercial. That was like their theme music right before it'd be like, we got the meats, or whatever.
Yeah.
Boom. So thinking about the money from that and the money that I took a one payout on when I was 20, I was like, damn, this is crazy.
How much did they pay you back then to do that McDonald's jingle?
Somewhere between $500,000 for me and my brother. So shout out Steve Style. He brought, hey Steve, I'm not ungrateful.
Man, at 20, that's amazing.
Yeah,
he
got you that deal. Yeah, he got me that deal. Yeah, for sure. Shout out Steve Style.
And they probably didn't know it was going to be used for so
probably
long.
Probably not, goodness, but it was.
Yeah, gracious. But it was.
Millions, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You hear it? Goodness gracious.
So then Arby's, knowing the history of that, I do like discussions and panels and stuff, and people always ask me like, damn, like, what is some of your regrets? And I tell them like, man, I took a payout for something from McDonald's years ago at 20. And I think Arby's caught wind of that, and they were like, man, we got this big fish that we about to, you know, we about to drop. And I know, you know, this is now, we already in business together. They put together the whole play for me.
That
and
is really like a beef. That's really them tapping in.
Tapping into the culture. Being dope. Like, yo. And it was, you know, they just felt like it was, the whole thing was just synonymous with what I had going on too at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
it's perfect.
Yeah, they was like, yo, this is.
Who was the executive there that even, listen, I'm curious who's.
Listen, I didn't meet him, but I'm hearing he's like looked at as a genius. It was something that he had to fight for. They like nixed the idea first. And wow. Then he like went back like, listen, y'all not understanding. I'm telling you.
I know they love it. I hope they gave him a promotion.
Absolutely.
Because I'm telling you, that's why it's so important who's in these positions at these corporations that can make these decisions. Because a lot of times people try to be part of the culture, but they don't do it right.
Right.
And the way that they did that was like, okay,
it
very
was
clever.
Seamless. It was seamless. It was clever. It was synonymous with like just all brands involved. It just made sense.
You had invested in a streaming service too? Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that, what's going on with that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how this one is playing out.
Some investments do well.
Some investments do well. They turn around, but other ones, you know, we have to wait and see.
Okay.
We have to wait and see.
What about other investments that you've done that have worked out that you...
I also got a business that I actually really love, man. It's medical transportation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, like, we got, like, through the Hampton Roads area, it's, like, 20, 30 vans that just run, you know, elderly and older people and people with, like, illnesses around the city. And it's been really lucrative and, like, fulfilling, actually.
Yeah, that's the best thing when you can do something that you can make money
it's
from
really,
help people.
It's really dope.
When you said that, I'm doing something like that now because, you know, my wife's mother had dementia and we would have to take care of her.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that the city and the state actually pays family members to take care of her instead of, you know, getting outside help.
Right.
They'll pay you because they say you do it anyway and they'll give you money for it. So you can get a salary from helping your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather.
Wow.
So we starting a business like that where we're helping people get that money, that salary to help their loved ones.
Yeah. You know, before my mom passed, it was like nurses. She had nurses. My sister's paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was like, my mom got a nurse taking care of my sister. She got a nurse. You know what I'm saying?
How did your sister get paralyzed?
Like a stroke. Something. It's not even a stroke. It was something in the brain with the blood vessels expanding or
like an aneurysm.
But it wasn't. Okay. It's a proper term, but all of those terms are very close.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's been a lot, but everything seems to be working itself out and playing out in a really, really good, really good way.
That's what it is. Well, Pusha, the album is out right now. It's almost dry. I gotta thank Pusha too. You know, a lot of you don't know that me and Pusha, we knew each other from when I was in college, and he used to come with me all the time to all the clubs, make sure I was safe. And
did you see any of the crazy things he used to do? Because I read his book.
He was there, Pusha. You don't understand. It was one time I was DJing, and they was throwing chairs and tables at me and Pusha.
Was it because of envy?
Probably because of us, and we hid behind him.
Yeah.
But when I
did my first car show, I called Pusha, and I was like, I'm doing my car show, and he was like, come get my, he had his Ferrari. He was like, come get the Ferrari, and I came and got the Ferrari, and then when I delivered it, we dropped it by accident. We cracked it a little bit.
Did you?
No, then they had to go fix it.
Wait a minute.
In front of it?
They probably did, I don't know.
In front of it. But you know, he wasn't mad about that.
That's nice.
It's just a car.
It's just a car.
It's just a car.
Did you call Envy when you heard all the news about like his book and how his wife couldn't orgasm just to reassure him?
No.
Now I gotta explain it.
No, so bro, this, come on. This, I can't. I don't. Just don't.
All right, you right.
Don't
put your tea.
Thank you.
The album is out.
Jesus. Yo, he is wild.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Any first responder will tell you, never try to beat a train. After braking, it can take a mile for a train to completely stop. So when you come to a rail crossing, stop, because trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
Philip Ashley, he makes these chocolates, chocolate-covered cherries. And so I had a whole huge box of them that I ordered, and I think I ate like 8 of them in a row, goodness and I had gracious dessert.
Yeah, I love fat things. Okay, you know, back in the day, you get high, you get the Sunbeam honey bun, you know, put a Snickers on top of it, microwave it for 40 seconds, and then eat it with a spoon. Lord have mercy. And even though I've always been lactose intolerant, sometimes you risk it all and put some ice cream on top of that thing. Man, listen, that's good eating.
You know, I remember I told you about this one time. I was in South Carolina. I think it was called the Thunder something.
Thunderbird, Florence, South Carolina.
Now, it looked like a cafeteria, but the food in there was amazing.
Yes.
And I must have went back to that line about 5 times.
It's a buffet.
The buffet, yes. Yeah.
Listen, all my fat stuff involves being high. You know what I'm saying? You get on them edibles, and I love to eat. So, you know, if I know I'm going to do an edible, wherever we order food, I'm going to order what I'm going to eat, and then I'll order something
for later
that I know I'm going to eat when I get the munchies later. The problem with that is it's usually a whole other meal.
It is.
You know what
it
I'm
is
saying?
It's not a snack.
And you know what's really fat? When you eating, and while you eating, you like, God damn, this going to taste good later when I'm high. And I'm going to tell you what else makes you feel fat. When you done passed out from being high and drunk, and it's 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you wake up and you think about them leftovers, and you like, I got to eat them now while I'm high because they ain't going to hit the same tomorrow when I'm not.
Hello, who's this?
This is Dre from Hampton.
Talk to us, Dre.
So, check, you know, on the cruise, right, they always got food 24 hours, right?
Right.
And then they got a set dinner time.
Correct.
Well, I was on this cruise one time, and I got a slice of pizza from the pizzeria, and I'm heading back to my room. As I'm heading back to my room, I'm ordering room service, but I'm about to go to dinner in 5 minutes.
I see the cruises do it dirty too, because it's free room service, it's free food. So I do that too. I order some food room service just in case you don't like the dinner, right? So you still good, and then you eat the dinner.
I've never been on a cruise.
Me neither.
I don't like cruises. I don't want to be in the middle of the ocean in a boat for all them days.
Hello, who's this?
It's Brandon.
Brandon, what's up, brother? What's the fattest thing you've done?
All right, check it out. In the hood, you only got like a few choices of food, so instead of eating this Chinese, I figured I'd mix them together. So I bought me a spice, then walked to the Chinese store, got me some fried rice with some beef and broccoli, and I took the slice out, put the beef and broccoli with the fried rice on top of the slice,
Man, that's some good eating, King.
Food on top of
King,
the pizza?
That's some good eating, King. Woo. Was it shrimp fried rice?
Nah, it was regular fried rice with some onions.
Can you imagine the shrimp fried rice on top of a slice of pizza? Lord have mercy.
The mixture of the sauces and the taste.
Ooh, you eating, King?
How much you weigh, bro?
Thank you. How much I weigh?
Yeah.
I currently weigh 200.
Man, hey, I did that over the holidays. I hadn't had Chinese food in a long time. I went to Chopsticks in Teaneck, New Jersey. They're like a kosher Chinese restaurant, and they got them chicken egg rolls. I ordered 4 of them things. And I came home, my daughter asked for one, act like I ain't here. Because I knew what I wanted to do later with that egg roll.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Keita. How are you? Good morning.
Hey, Keita, we're talking about doing some fat things. Talk to us.
Yes, so the fattest thing I did was made a donut burger. So it had...
Oh, the Luther?
Say it again.
The Luther.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the Luther?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's a hamburger patty with bacon on it, and I had like some extra bacon with a fried hard egg and a hash brown, and then you top it with the
donut.
The donut.
Yep.
That's some real fat-ish right there. That's some real fat-ish.
Yep.
Y'all ain't never watched The Boondocks? That was an episode of The Boondocks, the Luther Burger.
Thank you, Mama.
I never tried it, though. Every time I see it, I'm too scared of that. I ain't never got that high.
All right, man. So now y'all feel fat. Y'all hungry like I am. What's the moral of the story?
Man, food is amazing, bro. The moral of the story is, you know, I think your diet is a bank account. And good food choice is a good investment. And it doesn't sound like y'all making good investments. Like, I was talking about just random things. This sounds like this some of y'all regular everyday diet, all right? So just make sure you're making, you know, good food choices to make good investments. That's all. But, man, food is life. Well, I love food so much.
Absolutely.
Lord have mercy. We all fat. We all trans fat, bro. And we just need to accept it. Don't nobody really like eating healthy?
No.
No.
Oh, healthy could be delicious. That's not true.
Sure.
It definitely
it don't taste like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It don't taste like them. Sure. Them Krispy
Man,
Kreme
the juices
donuts.
At Juices for Life, those like are amazing. Cheese. It's like dessert.
They're good.
Yeah.
But they taste delicious.
Nothing tastes good like the biggest.
Mangoes. Oh, my God. I love a good juicy mango.
If all this stuff we really love to eat was healthy, like if Krispy Kreme donuts kept us alive, guess what we'd be eating this morning right now?
I tried
you know
that.
What I mean? If Chick-fil-A is what gave us muscles, guess what we'd be eating this morning?
You remember what I used to eat every morning up here?
And I love sauteed spinach with garlic. Yum.
All right. Well, this is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Michelle Johnson of Brownsville called to use our outlet. She called to get some things off her chest, and this happened.
Michelle, tell them why you're mad, Michelle.
Because I'm mad, and I was watching TV the other day, and I seen that Barack Obama went to go to war with Siri. Siri ain't never did nothing to nobody. I like Siri.
Siri?
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yes, Siri on the iPhone, Angela.
I think you're talking about Syria.
No, Siri on the iPhone, the one that lets me know everything I need to know, where I need to go, baby. All the restaurants, all the popping restaurants, all the popping clubs.
No, God bless you. Barack Obama wants to go to war with Syria. Syria is a country. Siri is the feature on the iPhone.
When I was watching TV, he said he wanted to go to war with Siri.
That's S-Y-R-I-A, Syria.
You got to stop watching BET and watch more CNN, baby.
Well, y'all don't know what the hell y'all talking about.
Oh, we don't know. We talking
okay.
About.
Lord have mercy. Let us pray. This is why I don't be talking in words after 5 p.m. Now, Siri, would you like to respond to Michelle Johnson saying Barack Obama wants to go to war with you?
Michelle, you dumb. I'm Siri. Syria is a country.
Oh, man.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne.
You just keep saying it. No, we're going to keep that in. You not even know. We're going to keep that in.
No.
Because this is the last Breakfast Club interview of the year, but it's also the last Breakfast Club interview in this studio.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And I'm actually glad that he's here.
That's
this
right.
is a great note to end on after 13 years.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Drewski is joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
What up, Drewski?
No pressure, Drewski, but this is the last day.
Like, yeah, y'all don't give me the bull just because I'm the last one, though.
Let's wrap it up.
You know why I'm glad you're here? Because you represent the now, but you also represent the future.
Yes.
And that's what the Breakfast Club is currently doing right now. We represent the now, but we're moving into the future. So it's good to have you here,
brother.
That's
perfect.
How you feeling, brother?
I feel good, man. I feel blessed. I'm actually super excited I'm up here because I literally sat back and watched y'all for so long. It's like one of those moments where it's like, damn, I'm here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you get a lot of money, Drewski.
Nah,
you're getting a lot, Drewski. Drewski, stop by. First of all,
you see how they try to just pop it off?
One of your partners was a close friend of mine, Hovain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
God bless him.
Rest in peace, Hovain, yeah.
Was he your manager? Or?
Yeah, at one point we worked together, yeah. Not towards, you know, the end of it because, you know, business is business, right?
Absolutely.
So, he was a great guy, though.
So, I'm fully aware that you're getting money, Drewski.
Oh, man.
Goodness gracious.
What makes you say that?
I mean, your outfit, your chain, and plus I see you on commercials.
This was a gift, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not just out here buying chains.
Who gave you that?
You know. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, nah, we'll talk. You know, I don't want to, you know, put it out there. But yeah, it's a gift, though.
So let's start from the beginning. How did it all get started? You went to Georgia Southern University.
Yes.
Now, and you wanted to be in sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
And what happened?
I think I just wanted to be on TV, man. It wasn't really about doing sports broadcasting. It was just, like, something I knew I could go to school for to, like, you know, entertain. I didn't know. I knew my parents wanted me to go to school, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna figure out a way to stay in school and do some cool shit, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was like the go to just to do that though. But I ended up doing what I really wanted to do now, you know.
How did you make that pivot?
Dropping out of college.
So what year did you drop out?
I think I did 1 year at GGC, which is like a close school to where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Georgia Southern, and I did like half a semester.
Jesus.
And just stopped going to classes, just all in general.
Let's talk about that mindset. Like, I mean, I never went to college, period. But so what made you realize that, you know what, college isn't the move for me?
I think, bro, just going up, those classes are so big. You don't even have like a real, like connection with none of the teachers. I think when I started out at the smaller school, I was cool because I still knew people where I was from. Mm-hmm. Everybody's still cool with each other, you know. It felt like high school again, you know. Mm-hmm. It's another year of high school. You get up to those big colleges, I thought it was about to be like a party, you know what I'm saying? You watch movies like ATL or Drumline and stuff, and you see like kind of like the college type of, you know, like, okay.
Right.
And I thought it was going to be like that, but nah, man, I went all the way out there to that party school, and I ended up hating it, bro.
What made you hate it?
It just wasn't. I went out there for other reasons. I went out there thinking this is like the lifestyle I could live. Like, yeah, this is the real college lifestyle. And I ended up just hitting me in the mouth with it. Like,
but you thought it was going to be like partying and women? What you thought it was going
to
be?
Yeah, I wanted that, man. I wanted a real college experience, because when you go to those small colleges, you don't get that. It's just like I said, like it's high school again. So I was like, okay, I'm going to step out here. I'm trying to get my deal on, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I needed that though, because I ended up figuring out that I wanted to be a comedian when I didn't go to class that other semester.
So basically you went to college and was like, damn, we still got to do work.
Yeah. It's actually worse, because the teachers don't give a crap about you. Nah, the teachers, you even got to show up.
You got to do your work.
Yeah.
If you don't, you fail.
Walk in, it's a lecture, it's 1,000 people sitting in here. They don't care who you are. You walk in, man, listen, man, it ain't for everybody.
Let's go back to, okay.
I was going
to
say, and where you going back?
Cause I was going to say, let's go back before college. Let's go back before high school. Because it just don't just start. You just don't start being funny. Like, I can watch you and tell this guy is naturally funny.
Right.
It's not performative. Yeah. You had to be the class clown, the disruptor in school, something.
I was always the class clown, man, since I was, like, in elementary school. But I didn't know that's what I wanted. I wanted to do that, but I didn't know it was, like, a real profession that could, like, be my career.
Right.
You know, so, like, I'm young, and I used to go to second, third grade, and I used to ask kids, be like, who do you think the funniest in our class is? And they'd be like, oh, you're so funny, man. Like, you know, I thought that was, like, the cool thing. So every year, like, my goal was, like, yeah, I'm going to make sure I'm the funniest in this whole grade. Like, I want everybody to agree that I'm the funniest. So it was just something I would put in the back of my head. But I never thought I would really end up making it a career, honestly. I just didn't think too deep into it. But I definitely have always been a class clown, man.
What did you do back in the day that you realized, like, okay, when you think about it now, like, I went too far back then.
All them ass whoopings, man. My dad was whooping my ass.
Really?
Let me talk about you went too far. What did you go too far on?
What did I go too far on? What, in elementary school?
Yeah, like prank-wise.
So let me give you an example.
But the trauma, I'd rather hear about the trauma from the ass whooping.
Well, let me give you an example. So Charlamagne used to make fun of this kid that was mentally challenged.
Oh, man.
Right? And he would make fun of this kid all the time.
Yeah.
Until one day, the kid turned around and beat Charlamagne's ass.
He didn't beat my ass. He choked me. It's a difference. He put me in a dope fiend. He put me in a sleep.
You know they strong, though.
What?
Hey, I'm telling you. You know they strong.
You have no idea.
Yeah, you got to see how they built. They stature built. Right. They always got big booties. So you should know. I'm telling you. That's why I never did that. They just go into the bathroom. You know, when they go into the bathroom, they pull their pants all the way down. And I could tell from stature. I'm like, okay, this dude built up. He got some strong hind legs on. You know, you don't mess with them, man. I'm telling you right now.
He'll post you up in the paint real well.
I just always knew not to mess with them. I could tell. Yeah.
So why'd you bring up your daddy beating you?
Oh, man. You know, that was just some.
Where you from, first of all?
And why he tried to make it seem like it was like just the worst thing. I think everybody got whoopings. Everybody got whoopings, man.
But you just volunteered the information.
Nah, I mean, that's really how I knew. Like, I was really wilding out when I was in elementary and middle school.
You know?
Yeah. Go ahead. Say what you're saying.
No, that's it. I will say this. The reason I say you probably wasn't wilding out like you thought you was, our parents, man, the way I don't know what year you was born, but I was born in 1978. The way we was raised, them ass cuttings we used to get, that was them projecting their trauma on us sometimes.
I
ain't deserved to get beat with no extension cord.
I think he might have.
Hey, extension cord?
He might have deserved it.
And my dad was old school like that too, though. He used all types of
stuff. He tried to light his house on fire. Like,
That's not what happened.
What's the reason?
I was in my room just playing with a lighter. I wasn't trying to light nothing on fire. Playing with the lighter.
What happened?
Nothing. Like, I was like, I would light the carpet, put it out, light the carpet.
Have you ever said, you know what, let me try to light my carpet?
I did stupid stuff too like that. Like, I was big on the stupid stuff. Like, I put a paperclip in an outlet, and it like blew up on me in my face. For real. And yeah, I did a little stupid stuff.
How long you been suicidal?
No, I was not. What?
How old?
So what? Jesus.
Why would you try to kill yourself?
Curious things, man. You know, when people used to tell me, yo, don't do that, I'm like, I need to figure out the reason why. Why is everybody tripping if you put something in the outlet? Like, yo, I see plugs going there all the time. I got to see what's the reason behind that. So just stupidity, Jesus, man. Yeah.
All right, we got more with Drewski. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Damn. Yeah. You know, a career. So what was like your first breakout moment online, you think?
Man, I was doing so much during the pandemic. the pandemic was a great time for me because everybody was like tuned in to
everybody was home.
Anything online, mm-hmm. anything. So I took over like the whole pandemic. I was doing skits about these white boys I went to college with. Kyle Roger, where I would do this frat boy character that I would always mess around doing. And I did a lot of other stuff like that people could relate to and find as funny, you know. Yeah, we took over during pandemic. That was a good time for me. Not healthy. But
And what was your first big break? Like the first time people seen you? Because after the pandemic, everything went off. You did commercials. You were doing tours. You were doing everything. So what was
you
that
on tour now? The coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, man. Coulda, woulda, shoulda tour, brother. Go get y'all tickets. I think the first big opportunity I was handed was Drake's Laugh Now, Cry Later video. Mm-hmm. That was a really, really big moment for
me. He reached out to you?
Yeah, he did.
The DM?
And it was really early on too, man. But I knew he was watching because, you know, he would laugh at certain stuff in the videos and stuff, and I was like, okay, that's crazy. And he reached out, asked for my number, and then we had a couple conversations. Next thing you know, he was like, yo, I need you to come to Oregon at the Nike headquarters, and we're gonna shoot this video. I got this concept, and I was speechless. I didn't even know what to say, you know.
Did you think it was really him when he hit you, or did you think it was somebody fake?
Nah, I knew it was him. I knew it was him because, you know, he's one of those people that I, like, tapped in. He don't really let a whole bunch of people run his stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I knew it was him.
How much does one charge for that? Because you young in the game.
Yeah.
You probably just want the opportunity, so you're probably not even thinking about the money.
Great cause is free.
Yeah, nah. It wasn't. I think it was off the love, but also, nah, they threw me something. It was a good check.
Mm-hmm. But see, the reason I brought that up is because a lot of times people don't recognize opportunity unless there's a paycheck attached to it. Mm-hmm. To me, that would just have been a great opportunity that I would have took.
Yeah. But see, I sacrificed a lot of other stuff during that time. Like, I would go and do a whole bunch of stuff for free that I knew was a great opportunity. Like, before Jack Harlow blew up, I went on tour with him for free.
Okay.
Like, and literally, because he was just like, yo, I can bring you on and you can host before I go up on stage, which was like small shows at the time. He was like, we only got one slot on the bus, so you can't bring none of your friends. I have no money. I don't have a budget to give you to come out. He was like, honestly, this could just help you just get experience on stage. And I was like, all right, bet.
Dope.
And I was like, broke. Like, I couldn't even pay my rent at the time. And I was like, I'm going. Like, it don't matter. He was like, I can pay for your meals, you know, and we'll just figure it out. And that was one of those moments as well that was just like, sacrifices, you know, just...
How long was y'all on tour?
Almost 2 months, I think.
Wow. Whoa, so this is great. You on tour for 2 months, he's paying for your food, I'm sure, with hotels.
Nope, we were staying on that bus. Yeah, we doing truck stops. We were stopping at truck stops in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
We see, I took showers and watched them at truck stops.
Yeah, like we even, if they did get a hotel, it would be like one hotel room, everybody's about to go in here, you go shower, you come out, you go shower, you go come out, you go shower, you come out, and everybody get right back on the bus. It never was like hotel rooms for everybody.
So Jack wasn't even Jack yet?
Yeah, not yet, but he, you know.
Man, there's nothing better than that, man.
Yeah, man.
And now y'all both have come up together, you know what I'm saying? He's blew up to be a big star, now he can give you even better looks.
Yeah, man.
You know? This house Thanksgiving?
I see y'all did y'all research, huh?
How was that?
When you said the food was terrible, I understand.
I can't even trash it, man, because I don't know who cooked it. You know, I thought it was his mom. I can't trash it for that because I love that lady, but somebody was cooking that stuff in there. I don't know who it was.
It was somebody white, I'm sure.
Yeah, his whole family. Yeah.
So were you reminded in that moment, like, oh man, Jack's cool as hell, but he's really white.
Yeah. I think they were singing Kumbayas for Thanksgiving. They be singing like songs and stuff.
Right. Yeah,
they're big on that. You know, they print out these sheets, kind of like y'all got, and they pass them around to the kids, the moms, the aunts, and they singing white spiritual songs.
So what did you do when they were singing? You were singing.
I was just staring there, but I think I was recording. I was like, yo, is this? This some type of, like, yo, I don't know. I didn't know if it was a ritual or something. You know.
Did you act like the food was good while you was there?
I definitely put on a little bit. Yep. I definitely misled them.
Only to tell the world later on.
Yeah, I feel bad. That's why I was saying I feel bad. I don't know who's cooking the stuff, but somebody don't know what they're doing.
Damn, it was that bad? It was some,
yeah, you know, they like to put breadcrumbs and everything.
Yeah,
it just, you top it off with breadcrumbs. It'd be like green beans, top it with breadcrumbs. Macaroni, top it with breadcrumbs. Why?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's raisins just, in the potato salad?
Pointless stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
and Jack
just
was acting like it slapped.
Oh yeah, you know. That's a spam though, man. They cool. They cool. I tell you that though. They cool. They might not be able to cook. They cool though.
So what'd you do? Say, hey man, Jack, take me to KFC or something.
Man, I was in there singing them kumbayas, man. You crazy. I ain't say none of that.
And did you spend the night at his house?
I think around that time we were on tour, so
okay.
Yeah. I think we might have got back on the bus after that. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So what does this coulda, woulda, shoulda tour look like?
Oh, man, this is about to be amazing. This is a great tour. You're going to get me. You're going to get some of Coulda Been Records, you know.
Who's on Coulda Been Records?
Oh, man, we ain't signed nobody yet, but we looking.
Oh, you looking.
We okay. Always looking, you know, and I always say this. It's not about talent. Some people just got the look, right? And it's always, it's I feel like sometimes people just have what it takes to be in my presence, you know.
Okay.
So yeah. With that being said, you know.
You think y'all ever drop music?
Yeah, we ain't to that point, man. I'm still disciplining some of the artists that we looking to sign. I'm still disciplining.
Mm-hmm. You tried to sign NBA, right?
Yeah, I tried to sign him, man. He's an interesting cat.
Why you say that?
He's just, you know, bipolar. Yeah, try to get on the same page with him. I never can though.
Who else did you try to sign that didn't?
I think I tried to get Kodak.
I remember Kodak.
Yeah, I tried to get Kodak. That. He didn't like that I presented the opportunity in the way I did.
How'd you present it?
I just told him, I said, yo, we passed on your opportunity. But we still look at him, and he ain't like that.
No? I can see why.
Yeah.
And I also see you a love interest in the video.
In my cousin's video.
Which one?
My cousin, Chloe Bailey.
Oh, that's your cousin?
Yeah.
That's what they say.
That's a. Are you real?
No, dead ass.
Oh, yeah,
like third,
man.
Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
It don't
eighth,
matter.
Yeah.
It's my cousin.
It's my girl. Yeah. Chloe Bailey. That's crazy.
Yeah, y'all do a lot of IG lives together.
Yeah, people think y'all really dating. Yeah.
Really?
That's just a rumor. We did a movie and, you know, people just, everybody talks and stuff. Yeah. I'm the love interest in the movie that we're doing. Yeah.
What's the movie? I didn't hear about
it. Praise This. It's actually going to be a very funny movie. It's a.
You have a love scene?
Like love making? Hey, I mean, like, what's a love scene? I don't know. Nah, it's a church movie, man. It's a family movie.
Like
it's a family movie. They ain't talking about love, Megan. I wouldn't be against it. But I tell you what, she's a very beautiful individual. She's very hardworking. And that movie's got to be amazing.
All right, we got more with Drewski. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I guess the OG comics, because there was this thing one time where OG comics would be like, oh, people from the internet aren't real comics.
Yeah. Why do you think I bring this tea up here, though?
To look like...
Because, to look like I know what I'm talking about. I seen the OGs coming up here doing it. I seen, like, Kevin Hart and them. You know, I seen them bring tea, so I'm like, all right, let me make a statement. Bring some, let me bring that's a hot true, cocoa up that's here, you know? True. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. That is true. And you know,
so that's one of my, you know, that's one of my things I knew I was going to do when I came up here.
Drink tea.
Yeah, I was just going to bring something just to look like I'm noble. You know, just to look.
Now, when you go on the room with Drama and Wiz Khalifa and all those, so how is doing that? Because you're a comedian amongst all these artists. Is that difficult? Because they want to see people perform.
You're saying like when we're just chilling, hanging out?
No, when you're on tour, when you're working.
Oh, when I'm on tour. Nah, that's not hard, man. You know, those are the ones that show love the most. I like when people come out and come to shows and stuff. Yeah, that's nice.
But you never answered the question about, do you feel, you know, you got to get these OGs respect as a comedian?
I think that always happens, man. And I think you got to go through the hard work. The first thing Kevin Hart told me when I went to his show and I'm backstage, and I was like, I was just watching him, you know, everybody congratulating him, like, oh my God, it's a great show. Oh my God. And I was just looking at him from across the room because they invited me to the green room, and I'm just like, all right, when's my moment to say what's up? You know, like I was kind of nervous, you know, and I'm expecting just to be like, yo, you had a great show. Dude breezes past me and he looks at me and says, stop being a bitch. I was like, what the hell is he talking about, man? And I had my hand extended out like, for, hey, what's up, man? I thought he was going to be like, hey, you killing this shit, man. He walked past me again. He said, I'm telling you, stop being a bitch. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm asking his boys. I'm like, what is Kevin talking about? For real? And he walked up to me.
Get on that stage.
He said, get on that stage. He said, stop acting like you're too good to do stand-up. And he was like, you doing all the little hosts and the tours. He said, but you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. He said, see, y'all scared, man. He said, these new cats, y'all scared. Y'all think y'all got all the fame. Y'all think y'all the shit. He said, stop being a bitch. I'm like, man. And that hit my soul, man. And I started going to these open mics and working on my set, you know. And, yeah, you got to fail before you
We always ask, you remember your best show and your worst show?
Mm-hmm.
What was the worst show? Let's start with worst.
I had a really, really terrible experience more recently. I tried to say a joke.
What city?
This was in Atlanta. I was just going on an open mic, and it just fell very flat.
What was the joke about?
I'm trying to remember. I think I told a story.
That traumatizing? You had to forget?
Nah, I just wanted to erase that from my mind. I can't think of the joke I said, but it was something about like my past. Yeah, it fell flat though. Like I think somebody clapped. Like in agreement with me, and I knew. I said, "Okay, that wasn't what I wanted." I'm not up here preaching, man. Somebody started, you know. They're like, "Oh, okay." And I'm like, "Hey, man, expecting a laugh here."
So what do you do from that? So now you're Drewski. Now this is recent. So this is Drewski.
Yeah, yeah.
Millions of followers. Mm-hmm. You're on tour. You go on stage. They cheering because they're excited to see you. You tell them.
I said it straight. I tell them as soon as I get out there. I say, "Hey, man, I'm working on stuff." Y'all don't expect nothing because they, you know, people try to stand up and do standing ovation. But, you know, when you're working on your set for like a big show that's coming up, you got, hey, I just walked up there and said, hey, y'all know, hey, I am Drewski, yes, but I'm working on stuff. Don't expect no big, you know, my best jokes right now, you know. But that's how you get better, though. That's the best way.
How'd you walk off stage after they did that? Did you just end right there?
I think I tried to say something else. And I followed. I said, "That's my time." You know, just try to say, you try to do something, and just that's my time, y'all. Thank y'all.
I want to go back to what you said about Kevin.
We're talking about the best show. We're talking about the worst show.
Oh, why?
Like the worst
about positive stuff.
So, what was the best show? Do you remember your best show you had?
I think my best show. I did a piece of Could Have Been when I was on the Lil Baby and Chris Brown tour, and I had this dude come out who was previously on my Instagram Live, and he came out and danced and like. The crowd, it was hilarious. Like, I was just reacting to everything he did, and that was a really good show.
So you wasn't telling no jokes?
It was like improv, you know? I was just out there just wilding out. Like, I was f***ing with the crowd, and, you know, all that. Sorry for cussing.
No, go ahead. But to that point, I knew exactly, when Kevin said stop being a bitch, I knew exactly what he was saying to you, because that's what all OGs do. But do you have to hit the stage? That might not be your thing.
Yeah, he's saying stop being a bitch as in, like, go out there and try it before you act like you too good to be doing, or don't be out here acting like don't be acting like you the shit, and you ain't even tried something that, you know, could be potentially huge for you. So he's not necessarily saying I have to be a stand-up comedian. Yeah. He's just saying, like, yo, go try it out. What are you?
Because on the flip side, there's stand-up comedians that can't do what you do online. They can't do. They're not good in sketch. Like, you might be a great sketch performer. Not saying that you can't be both. I'm just saying you might be. That might be your lane.
You're right. Only time will tell. We'll see if I get booed off another stage, or not even booed. Another clap like that.
Yeah.
Another clap like that. I might wrap it up.
I saw you with Speedy, and you was talking about how when you're with like A-list celebrities, paparazzi ignores you. That bothers you?
Not anymore. I haven't gone out to where it's like that anymore. I did at one point in time. It was like that though.
Yeah, of course. You walking with Jack Harlow. They say, "Excuse me, can you step to the side?" And just take,
And around the time I was hanging with like Odell, you know, he's a big timer, man. So, you know, I actually get inspired by it. Like I will leave and I'll be like, "Damn, that's so cool." You know what I'm saying? One day, just one day, man.
So it motivates you.
Yeah, it's motivation for real. Yeah.
Has any celebrity just walked past you, didn't speak to you at all, and continue to ignore you?
Oh, man.
You always remember that, but like, all right, I'm going to get that back.
Yeah, well, nah, it's not even I get that back. I just, Hollywood is weird, man. These people, like, they'll literally, you'll see somebody be like, oh, my God, man, hey, I love you, boy. I love you. Next time you see that dude, he'll just be like, man. You be like, what? Like, yo, you my boy, man. You remember? And it'll be a big, big time person. You'd be like, yo, it's just wishy-washy, man. Wow. It's, you know, that's Hollywood, though. I'm sure y'all have seen people act different.
They come and they go.
Yeah, man.
We've been around a long time. Yep. And you know what's so interesting? The people who are actually somebody, like I'm talking about like the Jay-Z's, Beyoncé's of the world, nicest people. But walk in the room, say what's up to everybody, introduce themselves.
Yes.
But then it's these one-hit wonders that be acting all extra.
Oh, man.
But you know what I think it is? I think when you come from a certain environment, you have a notion in your head of what you think a celebrity is supposed to act like.
Yeah.
You know?
See, that's the problem, though. A lot of people believe that they have to act like that. You know? Like, yeah, I'm big time now. I got to act like I don't mess with people like that. Mm-hmm. That's twisted, man. That's backwards.
Now, I want to go back. You said something earlier about, I don't know what the politically correct term is now, mentally challenged folks. But you talk about how fat their asses were.
Mm-hmm. What? That's what you want to go back
now, to? Now, no, because I noticed something, Drewski. You noticed asses. And I'm going to tell you what I noticed that.
Yeah, man.
When I forgot what performance it was, but Jack Harlow was performing on a plane. Mm-hmm. And he had all his friends on the plane.
Yeah.
You were looking at Jack's ass.
He was sitting in the chair.
Was I, though, man?
Yes, go back.
I remember that.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
I remember I dapped him.
No, you dapped him, and then you
and then you leaped over.
Yes.
But, I think what had happened, he dropped something out of his pocket. I think his wallet dropped.
He didn't bend over.
Nah, he didn't bend over. Something dropped, and I'm like, oh, there you go. He's performing, so I couldn't even say nothing. But I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, okay. He dropped something out of his pocket.
It was his back pocket then.
Yeah, his back pocket.
Now you look.
Y'all believe me, right?
No.
Y'all come on, man.
Hey,
I don't care. I just want
to know. I ain't gonna come up to Breakfast Club and lie. I seen something drop, man. Yeah, I wasn't looking. Man,
it's okay. It's performance.
It's all right. If that's what you went to, it's cool.
Now, ain't nobody said all this.
Yeah.
See, now you're trying to
say that. Hey.
I was just asking a question. How long have you been noticing asses,
brother? I was born in '94.
Okay.
What that mean?
I have nothing. It sounded like I was, you know. That's why, you know, keep grabbing that tea. It makes me seem like I know what I'm talking about. I got nothing. No, y'all stupid, man.
What's next for Drewski, man?
Yes, what Drewski got coming up?
This could've, woulda, shoulda tour.
For future reference, know when people ask you that, the interview might be wrapping up. So just know that.
What's next for Drewski?
It's up to you.
Yeah, what's next for Drewski?
It's really up to somebody. When people say things like, what's the next for Drewski?
Be prepared.
What you got coming up? It could go either way.
Or when they say, give me your Instagram. It's time.
Don't do me like that. It's the last one now. I got a lot in store, man. We're writing scripts for this movie for me and Jack right now. We're actually in process of a TV show that will be coming to FX that Kevin Hart is also involved in producing.
Wow, you and Jack?
No, not with me and Jack. Me and my friends are actually writing a movie for me and Jack right now.
Okay.
Ourselves and my team.
What's the TV show at FX?
The TV show at FX is based on my life in high school. Hmm. Yeah, being like a super senior.
That's intriguing.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Because, you know, Kev executive produced Lil Dicky's show, Dave, which I love. Man. Dave's funny as
Yes.
So they going to really let you do your thing.
Yeah, man. We you know, we had that green light stage where everything is coming to...
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, Drewski, we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Give me Instagrams.
So we can wrap this up. Jesus Christ.
It
I don't even want to do
it, time.
Man.
That won't
yeah,
be
it
last
won't
be. It won't be the last time, man. You on your way. Like, Drewski is absolutely, positively going to be a big star in this industry. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. All you got to do is keep your head on straight and sky's the limit.
And we might need you for a couple days, too.
Yeah,
we're gonna have some celebrity hosts with us and some guest hosts and stuff like that. So we might need you for a couple of days if you're in town.
All right, man. Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
No, for real.
Man, we serious.
Where? What's the event?
When we're moving.
When we booking that?
We're moving to a new studio, and Angelique has her own show now. So we're not rushing.
Yeah.
To get a new co-host, so we're gonna rotate guest hosts for a long time.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know when you're in town, and you got something you want to promote, just pull up and you know do the radio show with us in the morning.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm done.
But for real, give me Instagram.
Ah! Like, wrap this up, please. Yo, y'all follow me at Drewski. Tickets for the Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda tour will be on forlifeisworld.com. Y'all go get that.
All right. Well, it's Drewski. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective.
So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Don't be out here acting like a donkey.
Hee-haw, bitch. Yeehaw.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
I'm a big boy, I can take it. If he feel I deserve it, ain't no big deal.
I know Charlamagne the guy gonna have some funny sleep say out his mouth.
If you gotta say something you may not agree with, doesn't mean I'm mean.
Who's getting that donkey?
That donkey, that donkey.
Donkey of the Day right there.
the Breakfast Club, bitches.
You can call me the Donkey of the Day, but like, I mean no harm.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, April 12th goes to Julianne Budge. Julianne Budge is a 47-year-old woman from Utah who was arrested in a hit-and-run accident. Sadly, the two people that she hit have transitioned. Two men whose names have not been released, two brothers, died at St. George Regional Hospital after witnesses attempted life-saving measures at the scene, sending healing energy to the families of those individuals, and may God be pleased with their souls. Situations like this will never sit right with me because I hate when people lose their life because of the carelessness and recklessness of others. Okay, I don't know when we will realize that the number one thing that keeps us safe out here on this planet is human behavior. That's it. We are all relying on each other to stay safe. And when you do things like decide to drive under the influence, it is one of the most selfish decisions you can make because you're not caring about your life so much that you decide to get behind the wheel of a car knowing you got no business driving. That is not just a blatant disregard for the life God gave you. It's a blatant disregard for the life of everybody else who is on the highway with you. Okay, imagine being the person who's not under the influence, got their seatbelt on, license, registration, insurance, all up to date, you driving the way you're supposed to, doing everything you're supposed to be doing, and you get in the accident. Okay, hit by some donkey who decided they just had to drink or get high before they got behind the wheel. That is what happened in this situation, except it was two bicyclists, okay? But I'm sure they had their helmets on. They were in the bike lane. I guarantee they were doing what they needed to do to keep the ecosystem safe. And here comes the rupture. That is Julie, okay? Now, Julie told authorities that she had been admitted to a hospital the previous day and had been taking fentanyl through an IV drip. She also failed a field sobriety test after the accident, and that's when police decided to lock Julie's ass up for suspicion of driving under the influence. So let's be clear. Julie arrested in a hit-and-run accident while under the influence that killed two people. That's the real story. That's what happened. We could wrap Donkey of the Day right here. Okay, that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. When I tell you some Donkey of the Days just sell themselves, trust me when I tell you this hee-haw is selling. But that ain't the only reason Julie is getting the credit she deserves for being stupid this morning. Okay, see, when Julie first got caught, that's not what she told police. Okay, of course she didn't. Not at first. She didn't say, hey, I'm under the influence. That's why I ended up hitting and running and killing two bicyclists. Nope, nope, nope. She had another excuse. And when I tell you she pulled this one out of her ass, I mean it literally, according to her, came out of her ass. See, Julie told police that the crash happened when she began defecating on herself uncontrollably due to a medical condition. I'm not making this up. I'm looking at the headline in the NY Post. The headline reads, Utah woman blames fatal hit and run on uncontrollable defecation. Where I'm from, we call that diarrhea. Okay, good old butt mud, poo goo, poo water, that anal-flavored yoo-hoo. Let's go to Fox 13 Salt Lake City for the report, please.
An update tonight from Southern Utah. We're learning more about the person police say hit and killed two brothers in Washington City this weekend. Investigators say the two men were among dozens of cyclists who were in the bike lane participating in the Spring Tour of St. George. They were hit around 2 yesterday afternoon on Telegraph Street in Washington City. 47-year-old Julie Ann Budge of Hurricane told police she had a medical issue.
See, Julie told police the crash happened when she began defecating uncontrollably due to a medical condition. Okay? Jesus. All right. Julie told police that she had various medical issues, including irritable bowel syndrome, and that condition made her defecate on herself without warning, which caused her to swerve into the men. She also admitted she hit the cyclist, but she presented yet another excuse when she said she couldn't get her vehicle to stop. Now, I done read a bunch of articles about this situation, listened to a bunch of different news reports. If you were going to blame this and run, okay? Man, I wish I could crush right now, because according to Julie, it wasn't just a hit and run, it was a hit and run. Okay, sugar, honey, iced tea. If you're going to blame this accident on your anus having a dishonorable discharge, okay, if there is a sudden muddy playing condition going on in your drawers, then I have one question. Where is the doo-doo? Okay, I didn't see one police report that said we found biscuits and brown gravy anywhere on you. Okay, I have sharted on myself before. You've sharted on yourself before, right, Envy?
I have.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Happened to me in Columbia, South Carolina, the 803. Drop on the clues, bounce to the Metro.
Happened to me right up here.
Oh, it happened to you? Oh, yeah, that's when you threw your drawers in the trash can.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. That's when they really thought some wild stuff was going on in this building. Okay. All right. But just like the record show, it happened to me years ago when I was leaving a Jamaican spot. And, you know, when your stomach gets to bubbling and you can feel that anal eruption starting to happen when that hits your pants, it startles you. But it doesn't make you drive off the road. Okay, when you're riding in a Chevy and you're feeling something heavy, all right, you know what it is. It's diarrhea. And guess what? When I turned my underwear into a fudge fountain, I've never driven so perfect in my life. Okay, I don't want to swerve and look like I'm out of control when I had some JNCO jeans full of chocolate coleslaw. So, Julie Budges, who did you expect to believe this? Okay, and I go back to my original point. If you tell me that doo-doo is the cause of your accident, as a police officer, I want to see the doo-doo. That is evidence. All right? Now, Julie Bridges is being charged with, let me look it up, 2 counts of automobile homicide due to criminal negligence, 2 felony counts of failure to remain at an accident involving death, 2 counts of DUI with serious bodily injury by negligent operation, and 1 alleged count of it being a in run. She was also slapped with a misdemeanor charge of reckless driving and an infraction for improper lane travel. The moral of the story is, can we all start looking out for each other better? Please. Please give Julie Budges the biggest hee-haw. two people dead just because of the negligence of one person. Human behavior, us collectively, are the only reason we're keeping each other safe. We have to make a conscious effort every day to do the right thing so we don't end up hurting somebody else.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Man, very requested guest. Highly requested guest.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Toby Baker is here.
Wow.
What's happening, my brother?
Man, for the first time, this is debut. I love y'all, by the way. I want to interview y'all. Like, I want to ask y'all the questions. So tell me, how'd y'all get in radio?
Yeah, that. And listen, yeah. Ida Rodriguez, I know she absolutely loves you. She always talks about you. So she hit me too. She was like, are you going to have Tony Baker on the show? I'm like, it's already taken care of.
Yes, that is my dog right there, for sure. 100%.
Now, I had everybody hitting me from Sean King to comedians like Isaiah Kelly. I'm like, well, damn.
Everybody on Instagram.
Yeah. Because it was like, man, I want to be on The Breakfast Club. I always wanted to be on it. I was like, I'm doing Caroline's this weekend.
That's right.
Let me just, you know, put it out there in the universe.
You didn't need our help for that, though, because you sold that out quick.
Man, yeah, it sold out. I was like, New York pulled up. Because New York always in the comments section. When you coming to New York, son? Mm-hmm. When you could, word is born, son? When you coming? And I was like, all right, if I come out there, buy the tickets early, and they did.
Now, I saw a bit you did when you returned the stage, man. Cause I know condolences on your son.
Oh, thank you.
You know, but I was very intrigued because I was like, how does a comedian approach something,
right?
You know, like this. So, how have you been holding up, first of all?
This has been first, like, the scariest I've ever been comedically. Like, normally, like, I'm the type of comedian that I talk about whatever's going on in my life. Now I talk about, like, on the surface stuff, like, you know, observations and stuff like that. But then, you know, I always include what I'm going through in my life. And so with that, it was like, you know, comedy. My son passed August 3rd in a car accident, for those that don't know. And then I went on the road August 25th to Atlanta. So I was like, and I needed the comedy. I needed to, you know, keep working and making people laugh as part of my, you know, therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, but I'm scared to do it because people saw me lose my son in real time.
All right.
So it's not like, you know, you just see me and like, man, he lost his son. But we didn't know him then, so we can kind of detach from that reality.
Yeah.
So now I'm scared to bring that material out because the crowd is hurting too. Mm-hmm. So they're mourning with me. So it's just like, man. So I finally did it on Keep Your Distance, which is a virtual comedy show that Kev on Stage does. And it went well. I told the audience, look, man, I need to talk about this, so y'all need to open up. And then they received it.
I saw some of the things that you said.
Yeah.
Too,
so. About the cremation, like, you know, how do I know it's really him and her?
Yeah.
I want to know, I need to check this dust right here.
And I thought it was funny, but I was like, am I supposed to laugh?
Yes.
Oh,
that's,
man,
the weird part, but it's like, there's comedy everywhere. You just got to be able to find the sweet spot, I guess, to be able to make it relative and, like, funny.
That's what Marlon Wayans said when he was up here. He was like, when you're a comedian, even a funeral, you can find some type of...
absolutely.
And he said that exact same thing.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, because I'm sitting there and I'm laughing, you know. I was able to laugh, like, you know, the day he passed, I'm laughing, you know, crying. You know, I still cry daily, but it's like I laugh at stuff every day, too. So
yeah,
it's I'm like, man, I never thought, you know, you never know how you're going to react to stuff until it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the country, man. I'm from Moscow, South Carolina, so we laugh at everything. But I feel like sometimes with comedians, it's like an obligation to be funny. But what if I don't feel like being funny right now?
Right, yeah. Yeah. You know? There's those moments where it was just like, I guess it was just in me, and I found that out going through that. I was just like, man, I'm still cracking jokes.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. Like, at the funeral, I'm doing a set. You know, I did 15 minutes at his funeral, just like, yeah, man, crying. And then I would be like, yeah, he was always late. So I'm sure he was late to the afterlife, too. Mm-hmm. Like, God was like, man, yo, I called you 20 minutes ago. What took you so long? I had to put lotion on.
Yeah.
You don't get ashy here. Like, you never know. You got to look good.
And I saw you said that the crowd gets tight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when crowds get uncomfortable, as a comedian, you're used to, I guess, loosening them up, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. So going up there, like, I'll cuss a crowd out. This is the kind of comedian what? I am. Like, if the comedian, if the crowd is too stiff, I'll cuss them out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if because like there's certain rooms where they'd be like, "Prove it to us," and they just sit there, arms folded, and then
I saw somebody bring her boyfriend to a comedy show, and he was sitting there like mad the whole time, right in the front too.
You can't be in the front with that energy. And take that to the back.
They ripped him.
Yeah, you should be. If you're gonna be in the front, we need the energy. Fake it. But if you're going to be arms folded, McGee, sit in the back. Sit your ass in the back with that energy. You'd be like, look out, man. But with this type of topic, and it's not like I was forcing myself to find the material, because some comedians do too much and they feel like I have to make everything funny out of everything. Mm-hmm. For me, it was just organic. It was just like, you know, I'd be looking at my son's urn. It's right in the living room. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, how do I know that's him in there? They could have handed me any type of... Your son.
That's true, though. Yeah.
So I was like, yo, can I take this on Maury to make sure this is my son in here? You know what I'm saying? The DNA.
You know what's so crazy about that? When I heard you say it, I think I would have to watch. I know it's cruel as it sounds, only because they be harvesting organs and stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure y'all...
Oh, you want to watch the process when they go in the oven.
Yeah. Make sure everything is gone.
Is that what you want to be cremated also?
Oh, definitely. Throw me in that oven. 375. Nice slow roast. I want to be slow roasted. Put some seasonings in there, too, if you want to.
I don't know if 375 is hot enough.
No, I don't think, but that's y'all want it to last like a week. Be like, slow roast me if they can. You know what I mean? So, y'all want to be cremated?
I haven't thought about it, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
You want to be buried?
Why do you want to be cremated?
Because we're running out of real estate.
That is true.
So you don't want to...
It's overcrowded. It's like, especially New York. We drove through Queens. It's all cemetery.
Well, that's very thoughtful of you. So just because of overcrowding...
Yeah, like, because, you know... Or they got to dig up them old bodies of people that died in 1869. You got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody coming to visit you no more. You died in 1869.
Oh, my God.
Your family moved.
But that is true. I guess it's more inexpensive, too, like, as far as having to buy a plot of land and having to get a casket, because caskets are expensive, too.
Yeah, and you dead.
And then an outfit.
You need an outfit. What you care?
That's
you know what I'm saying? Just throw me in there.
Yeah, because you have to have on, like, something nice.
Yep.
And, you
know, that's a waste of a good outfit. A good suit.
That's real.
You know, and then you sitting there in one location. Like, what if you don't like the location no more? Your family done moved to different states. I'm like, scatter me around. Put me in a garden of a nice house and just... Okay. Sprinkle me right there. He would love this house. Sprinkle me. The owner would come out. What you doing out there? You just run off.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about those movies where they're like, don't bury me. I'm not dead.
Oh, yeah. Buried alive.
Yeah. So what if, like,
you were still alive?
Yeah.
And
now
in the
I
oven?
Got cremated.
Yeah. But you did. They already did your autopsy. You could have woke up then. But y'all better start thinking about this, man. It's coming.
I know. We were talking about it. I saw you post the funeral where he was in the club.
Yeah, he was standing on stage, and I'm like, yo, that's how I want my funeral, though.
See? We were talking about this the other day. I want a party.
So you want us to have your ashes in the club?
No. I want keep my body for the actual
party.
Game night. I want a game night, though. I don't want the club, because I'm not a club whore.
Okay.
You know, so prop me up at the table, Uno cards in my hand, and you can pay your respects. You put that reverse down. Come back to his tone reverse.
Yeah.
That's a good funeral right there. That's how I was living.
Or
on stage with a mic.
Okay.
Right. Whatever you was into. Like for y'all would be propped up in the radio station.
I don't know if that's how I wanted.
You got Charlamagne in the corner, you know what I'm saying, stirring the pot. So put like a pot here, and he's stirring it. Have Angela Yee did with the info on the guest line. Hard hitting questions. Doing an interview, just be over here not really knowing who the guest is and like, give me your top five such and such.
Charlamagne, let me take that question over here.
Give me your top five real estate investments of all time.
All right, we have more with comedian Tony Baker. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league.
Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Good morning. Yeah.
All right, so look, you guys just talked about Gerard Carmichael. Did you watch his special?
Yes.
Rothania, what did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't laugh a lot, but I loved it. Oh, for real?
No, it was,
God damn,
because it was
Tony.
Like a community gathering where he's interacting with the audience.
It felt like he wasn't forcing the jokes. He wasn't forcing the comedy. It was like, you can laugh or you can not. When he came out, I feel like the laughter revved up after that. Mm-hmm. So there was some good things in there, but mm-hmm. It felt very personal. It felt like a conversation, and you know, there was a moment in there that hit me personally when he said his mom was silent.
Right.
So that hit, give me space here. Like, I need y'all around. It was like, yeah, we hear you, but we gonna give you space anyway.
You know why, mm-hmm. man? It's so difficult when you have a loved one and they lose somebody really close to them because right. you don't know how to show up for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You let them know I'm here for you if you need me.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to show up for you. It's weird, man. It's strange.
And that's why I told him, I was like, you don't have to, when people are grieving, I think we overthink it a lot, and we be like, man, I gotta come in there and I gotta hit him with some hard hitting. I gotta come in and say, you know,
I gotta have a quote.
God puts things in place exactly. to where you don't have to do all that. You can just be like, for me, I hate talking on the phone. Like, notoriously, don't call me. And so all I need is a text, like thinking of you, love you, bro. There's my boy Demetrius. He texts me every single day. Love you, bro. And that's all I need.
Why do you hate talking on the phone?
I hate talking on the
phone.
But
why?
Former drug dealer? PTSD?
No, because you got to show up, first of all.
On the phone?
On the phone, you got to be there. You got to have energy. You got to have a back and forth. A lot of people just want to call you.
No, that's real.
And talk to you and vent, and you just sitting there taking it. And I wasn't ready to take it.
Oh,
so now
man.
I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. that's crazy to death. And then it's like, you got to be on. Then when you get quiet, it's like, man, you good? Why are you quiet? I'm just, this is all I got. So all of that, I got to prep for it. So it's like, man, what you want?
So you seem like you would be a phone talker from watching like your podcast and stuff like
yeah.
that. It feels like you would be like a good phone conversationalist.
Right. I mean, I can hang in there. I can hold my own. But if I don't feel like talking, I'll just be like, that's crazy, Angela. Yep, that's crazy. Man. Sometimes you just got to hang in there, you know what I'm saying? Take it one day at a time.
You got people that take advantage of that? You got people that take advantage of that? Like, they know what time to call you? Like, let me call him, like, around 9:30 a.m. when he just getting up.
This is what I know people do. They'll text me, and then I'll text back, and they'll call me right after that. So they know.
They know. You have your phone.
Exactly. Yep. They know you can answer right now. Yeah. And I still watch it die. I will watch that phone call die off in my hand. I'll be like.
Or if you post something on social media, and then they call you right after. They're like, boom. I know he's on his phone. Mm-hmm. He just posted this.
Yeah. And I see it, too. I'm like, I just posted it. Now they call me. I will watch that phone call die off.
Do you ever not post because you don't want anybody to call you?
Yes.
I've done that.
So you don't like the phone either?
I talk on the phone. You know when I talk on the phone for real? When I'm in the car, mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm driving and I got the Bluetooth, yeah. It's easier for me, like, while I'm just driving, because I got to be here anyway. There's
right.
nothing else I could really be doing
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
You can multitask, yeah. Especially when you got the good, when you talking to them, like, it's like they're in the ceiling of the car. You're just like, yes, I told it right. And sometimes you got to, you know, take it one day at a time. Yeah. I can do it then. But if I'm at home, nah, man, text.
Tony Baker, thank you for coming, my brother.
Yes, you got to come back again.
Oh, if y'all please. Don't promise me a good time.
Absolutely.
Done. That's done.
Because I got y'all DMs now.
Follow us now.
Oh, man, it's over for y'all, man.
It's Tony Baker. It's The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Any first responder will tell you, never try to beat a train. After braking, it can take a mile for a train to completely stop. So when you come to a rail crossing, stop, because trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
Mind thing, you'll do it so much just to feel like, you know, your nerve bad, you'll say you need a smoke. But also the nicotine and tobacco, you become addictive to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you pretty much could have that element of smoking to feel like you calm your nerves down without having the elements of the nicotine and tobacco being addicted to it. Actually have things like miracle berries inside of it, which is good for, like, in West Africa, it's very, very popular to help regulate your bodily functions and help keep your blood level. So it's pretty much a healthier alternative.
Yeah, because a lot of people smoke hookah, not necessarily because they enjoy hookah, but like sometimes you don't want to drink too much because you got to drive home.
Correct.
Right? And when you go to the club and you don't necessarily drink, there's nothing to do. Right?
Exactly.
You can't, you dance, you hang in with your homies, but also you want something to do. So a lot of people smoke hookah because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how did you get the idea to create this hookah pen?
I love to smoke hookah, but I don't smoke cigarettes, don't smoke marijuana, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to the point where I complained about people smoking cigarettes, but not realizing smoking hookah, I was smoking like a pack of cigarettes. So I was like, what is a way for me to still do what I love? That's a hobby of mine. I just love to smoke hookah, but kind of like not feel guilty about it, putting things in my body that I typically wouldn't, you know, prefer to put in my body. So I knew it was a way to create the element of smoking hookah without using the nicotine and tobacco and to use the fruit, because if you really think about it, you go to these hookah places, you could kind of get shisha put into a fruit head, and the fruit head doesn't burn, you still could smoke out it. So I knew that was the way to incorporate both of them and make it make sense. I know nobody never done it before, so I knew it was a way. It wasn't easy, but I knew it was a way to do it. So that was, you know, the whole motive to me creating the element.
Now I know as black people, we're creative, right?
Right.
But how did you create a hookah pen? Like, I mean, you didn't do this in your basement. You didn't say, I'm going to create these parts and do it with just fruit. So how did you create this?
So it was literally,
it's no different than if somebody create a vape pen, right? So the hookah pen itself, actually, the hookah pen, that's not a word. I created that word, right? Because you either have a vape pen or you have a hookah. But I knew I was bringing to market something new that they didn't experience. So I didn't want to literally call what I was creating my different formula a vape pen, because then it was going to make me stand out from everything else. So you literally had to, I felt like it started with the name first. If I'm telling you a different name, you're going to look at it and say, so what's different about this? And that's when I feel like I have the floor to be informative and let you know, like, this is not your typical hookah. This is not your typical hookah pen. This is not your typical vape pen. So literally me creating with the fruit, I literally had to get different supplies together. Let's not talk about the supplies. I had to go between 13 to 17 supplies. Everybody was telling me, I don't think that sound right. You say fruit inside of a hookah. Oh, we can't do that. But it got this other alternative, which was everything that everybody else was doing. But I was persistent. So that's why I tell people, like, if you believe in something, like, you literally got to go for it. And if it's your vision, it's your vision. Not everybody going to see it. But, like, at the end of the day, if you know, you keep fighting for what you truly believe in, look at me. You know what I'm saying?
So how did they get fruit into a pen that you can smoke? So what are you smoking? Because you're not smoking an apple. You're not smoking a pineapple.
Correct. You literally smoking fruit juice. Like if you smoking a hookah pen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you smoking a hookah pen of pineapple, somewhere else you'll be smoking a pineapple pen with literally nicotine, tobacco, all kind of chemicals. I literally recollected my hookah literally made out of fruit juice, made up of Miracle Berry. Miracle Berry is the most popular fruit that's known that you can, like, literally alternate flavors, taste, and everything like that, and literally manipulate it to taste exactly the way you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of giving somebody my phone.
You're giving too much, man. You're giving too much. You're giving too much. So
y'all
now,
can't do it. It's patent.
All right, it's patent. So when did you know it was going to be a success? When was the first time where you started seeing taking off and be like, oh, this really works?
The fact when I literally know how much I love hookah and I was enjoying my own product. For a while, I was sold out at first. The reason why I was sold out the most because I was taking too much of the supply. Like it was really, really good. Like, I really enjoyed it. So it's the fact that it's no nicotine, no tobacco, and it's a healthy alternative, but literally tastes better than everything else. Like, I literally could stand behind a product and say, I'm going to smoke 1,000 different hookahs, 1,000 different flavors. My flavor literally is like one in a million. You can't find nothing like it.
Where did you come up with the mind sense to create a business, right? Because you said you patented it and you did the right steps before somebody was able to take it. Where did you come up with that mind sense to do that?
So that's what's crazy. That's part of my journey, right? I always use my personality and my likeliness on social media to the best of my ability. And before I created my own business, I was known on Instagram to be deemed the promo king. So everybody who had a business, whether the biggest or the smallest, even as far as WeTV, used to reach out to me, have me doing promo contracts, talking about shows and stuff like that. So I used to get all these stories from everybody. Like I used to be booked for almost a year with promo slots, and people used to be literally going crazy over my promo, saying like I made them the most money that they has ever made in a day, in a week, whatever, on their business. So once I was getting older and realizing and understanding that if I'm making all these people money, despite me making a good living off of this, I could really do this and use my influence and make this money for myself. So that's kind of what, you know, it regulated in my head, that despite being on the back end, I really wanted to be the entrepreneur and the CEO myself, you know?
Now, are you concerned with tobacco companies saying you're going to start taking business from them? And usually when that starts happening, that's when they try to start trying to take out the little man, because you're taking so much of a profit share from their already profit that they being taxed crazy.
So this is the thing, you know, I'm really not worried about the tobacco industry. And then as far as, like, you know, them trying to take out the little man, I'm not to sound cocky, but not a little man, it's the big man. So, you know, good luck with that.
Okay. Now we talk about financial wealth, and now it was rumored that Black Friday alone, you make $2.7 million.
Uh-huh.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely true.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely true. Look, it's crazy. Like, it's so many things that I could ever even fathom to believe. And LeGlare is saying something over there about the $2.7 million. Because let me tell you this. About the $2.7 million, that's what I felt comfortable with sharing. You know, it kind of went a little farther, but that was my cap. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But yeah, God is good, man. Like, I truly appreciate, you know, the community from supporting me and rocking with me, actually loving the product. So, like, yeah, I'm very happy about it.
For people that want to purchase this or want to try it out, how can they do so? And how long does that pen last?
So that's the thing about, as far as the pen, you literally determine how long it lasts. It's a disposable pen with 2,022 puffs. So you could literally sit down and smoke 2,022 puffs in one day if you want, if you just don't stop. You can smoke it in 3 days. Some people pen lasts a couple months. Some people pen lasts for 1 month. So you literally determine your puffs. Like if you sit your pen there for a year and don't smoke all the puffs, your pen will still be there all year. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Now, Brittany Griner just got released. Shout out to Brittany Griner a couple of days ago. So my question to you is, if I travel with this out the country, is there anything in this pen that's going to get me arrested, locked up, sent me to jail, anything?
Shout out to Brittany Griner. Absolutely not. And that's why, Brittany Griner, I'm letting you know right now, you need to get you some black smoke, baby. You could travel in and out the country. You could go through the airport. You could take it in your carry-on bag. It's all good. So, yeah, black smoke, no nicotine, no tobacco. There's absolutely nothing in there will get you in trouble. No THC, no nothing like that. It's just all a healthy smoke, baby.
So for people who want to get it, how can they get it? How can they purchase it? How can they put it in their store? Or individually, if they just want to buy it, and will they be able to have it by Christmas?
So you definitely will be able to have it by Christmas. I'll ship it, don't play. But it's only available online, blacksmoke.com. The thing about it, a lot of people, like, I type in the website and I can't pull it up. The reason why black is spelled B-L-A-K-K. There's no C in it, so it's blakksmoke.com.
But you blood, you don't take out the, you take out the crib or something?
Nah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you. So for people that order it now, and how much is it if they want to order? Can they order it singular? Do they order boxes? How does it work?
So I will always suggest you to order the hookah pen bundle. The bundle is $299, and you literally get all flavors, all 10 flavors. Individually,
$299, like what you mean?
$299 for the whole bundle.
$2.99. I said, goodness gracious.
$299 for the whole bundle. You get all 10 flavors, which is a great deal because individually they $39.99. Mm-hmm. So you saving over $100 by getting the bundle. But then when people don't get the bundle, because I understand people want to try it out for the first time.
They want to make sure it's right.
They want to make sure it's right. But then they be mad because now it's sold out and they never could get it. You know, they gotta have some people that's been trying to get black smoke for the last year and still has been unsuccessful. You know, if I don't put my stash to the side, I wouldn't be successful with it. So I will always suggest get the bundle. I can promise you, you go like it. And it's gonna definitely be another flavor, another flavor, another flavor. You can always think one is your favorite until you try the other, you know?
All right. Well, we appreciate you for joining us. Did you bring us some?
I definitely bought you some. It's right there.
It's black smoke. Make sure you pick it up right now. Perfect Christmas gift for anybody that's a smoker. You want them to get off of it. And the flavors are pretty dope. The apple green is pretty dope, too. Where's the apple green? The green apple. That's pretty dope, too. I like the green apple. All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. What part of Jersey are you from?
I actually moved to South Dakota.
Oh, South Dakota. Are we syndicated in South Dakota?
I don't know.
No, not anymore, I don't think. But I do stream it.
Oh, you listen to us on the iHeartRadio app. Okay, got you.
Cool. Yeah. All right, well, congratulations. We're hooking you up with $1,000. You said you needed some money for your Girl Scout troop because sales didn't go well for a large group. Well, you got that $1,000.
Yay, thank you so much.
And don't you try to cuff them cookies either. You still go out there and you sell them cookies.
You got it.
All right.
Can I send you a box?
Yes. I'd love some Thin Mints. You can send me all the Thin Mints you got.
Some. Yeah, send us some, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Don't front now. Don't tell me you're going to send up the cookies and don't send the cookies now.
Give me an address, and I will send you some cookies. I'll even send you a box of the brand-new Raspberry Rally.
That sounds disgusting.
No, send it all up here. Thank you so much. Hold on. We'll get you the address, okay?
I like the chocolate peanut butter and the Thin Mints.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that's brought to you by our friends at Valentino, born in Roma. Don't move. Positive Notes up next. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right. Well, you got a positive note?
Now, the positive note is simply this. After getting what you manifested, because this is very important. Everybody want to have their vision boards and manifest things. And, you know, a lot of us get those things that we manifest. But after getting what you manifested, ask for discipline to keep it and wisdom to multiply it. Have a blessed day.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.